Well, by the way, those, I think I sent an email out about where I combined a number of podcasts into one, all related to the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm already getting feedback on someone who sent them to someone to listen to, you know, someone who is not familiar with a lot of those great details. So that was kind of my intention. Sometimes talking with people and they don't have a whole lot of information, or they have a lot of fairy tales about that when it comes to the wise men, but some of those other things. So yeah, blessed to hear that. So if there's somebody you're talking to, send them a link and maybe it'll help them to understand a little better. It's a good time of year to do that, isn't it? All right. Well, please, if you would, take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Today is Sunday, December the 8th, 2024. We're going to begin in Luke, chapter 1. For those who read the Bible, they know that at times angels are sent by God to bring a message. Other times angels are dispatched for protection of God's people. There are other times when angels are sent to defeat God's enemies. And then there's other times where angels are sent to bring comfort and ministering, like to Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to look at the angel Gabriel sent to bring a message first to Zacharias, and then 6 months later to Mary. And in looking at this, we're going to see that one believed the message and one did not. So we begin in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. The priests were all put into courses or groups. There were 24 of them, and they would go during their time to Jerusalem, to the temple, to perform the priestly duties there. So, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were, look at this, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years, in their senior years. Verse 8, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So they're outside while he went inside the temple to do incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. That would be unusual. You're not really expecting anybody to be there, and all of a sudden somebody's there. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. We can understand that. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. So many times when angels pop up, the first thing they say is, fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. My goodness, they've been trying and obviously praying. Now they're old, she's barren. Your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby. Verse 14, and you'll have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he, this child that's going to be born, shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Doesn't matter if you're great in the sight of people. It really matters if you're great in the sight of the Lord. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. No indication in Scripture that ever happened to any other human being. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God.
And he shall go before him, before God, in the spirit and power of Elias, that'd be Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Quite a declaration.
And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Another translation has this as, how can I be sure of this happening? In other words, Zacharias was questioning whether this could be true or not. Since his wife was barren, they're both old. It was not a question of how, but it was rather a question of whether this is even possible, whether this is true. And as the record continues, we'll see clearly that he did not believe this message. Verse 19, after he said this, and the angel answering said unto him, I'm Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and show you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. His questioning of whether this could be true was unbelief. And Gabriel plainly told him that he did not believe the words that Gabriel spoke to him. And Gabriel is an angel of God, therefore what was being spoken to him was God's word. But let's not get too critical of Zacharias. We read what God's word said about him, verse 6? They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Let's not get too critical of them. And on top of that, they were chosen to be the parents of John the Baptist. First mention of a prophet for 400 years in the Scriptures. So even though God shows us that he did not believe in this instance, we shouldn't get too critical of him. And isn't it easy to be critical and judgmental of others? We ought not do that. So, verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Wow, I thought this was going to be quick. Where is the guy? And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, his 2 weeks there, he departed into his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. How good and kind God is. And in the 6th month, meaning when Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Espoused, as you know, in Bible culture, there were 5 events for a marriage. And one of those was espousal. A little different than in our culture of being engaged. It was very serious, and after espousal was the wedding, and then they got together and consummated the marriage. So she's in the espousal stage. That's important to remember. The angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Holy cow, what's this? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Who's the highest? God. He'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Quite a statement, quite a declaration. Mary just going about her business, and then, boom, here's Gabriel with this message. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The difference between Mary's question and Zacharias' question. Zacharias questioned whether this could be true. Mary's question was, how? For Mary, this was not unbelief. She was simply asking for more information. She obviously understood how pregnancy works. She was old enough to understand that, right? Just as Zacharias understood how a pregnancy would happen. He and his wife had been praying and trying for years. So they both understood how the biological system works when you get pregnant so that you could have a baby. But Zacharias questioned whether it could be true, since he and Elizabeth had tried and couldn't seem to get a baby. On the other hand, Mary at that time was espoused to Joseph. And so the time for them coming together wasn't there. And so her question was, how? You know, since I'm not married yet, I'm not living with a guy, you're telling me I'm going to have a baby? How does that work? We read verse 35, that the angel graciously answered her very good question. You know, she just didn't go, okay, thanks, see you later. Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, God, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And we refer to this many times as divine conception. Mary provided the egg, which all women have the egg, but the sperm was created in her by God Almighty. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. So literally, that baby would literally be the Son of God, right? And then Gabriel gave her a little more information. And behold, guess what? Your cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. She's 6 months pregnant. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And a better understanding of that, with God, any words from God are not impossible. And Mary said, look at her response now. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Be it unto me according to thy word. And that is believing. Be it unto me according to thy word. And Mary arose in those days. The scriptures will now indicate to us that she really did believe. Verse 39. Yeah. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill company with haste into a city of Judah. Going to go see cousin Elizabeth. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an indication in God's word of what follows, what Elizabeth is going to speak are words that she got from God. That's by the normal pattern of Scripture. We can see this. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And look at verse 45. Blessed is she that what? Believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. She had God's word by way of the angel Gabriel. And speaking by the Spirit, Elizabeth said, blessed is she that believed. Two really wonderful records of God sending an angel with information and instructions from God. Last week, I mentioned what is the difference between an angel telling Gideon, you mighty man of valor. What is the difference between that and God saying to us, you are more than conquerors. In all these things, you are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What's the difference? Both are declarations from God, one by way of an angel speaking for God, and the other by written scriptures, the Word of God. And what do we know about the written scriptures? From 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, we could look at it, but I think you've heard it before. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God told them what to write. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God, or all scripture, God breathed, and it's profitable for us, for doctrine, how to believe rightly, reproof, shows us where we're off the mark, for correction, bring us back to right believing, which is instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be furnished, completely furnished unto all good works. So we know the written word of God came from God. God breathed his word. God told them what to write. And how blessed we are to have the scriptures, God's word, right in our hands. And we have it, the whole thing, Genesis to Revelation. We have such access to what God had communicated to holy men for us to read. How blessed we are. We have the scriptures. We have God's word. And on top of that, God can, and he does, communicate information and instructions to us, born-again ones, by way of the Spirit of God. And he does that by the manifestations of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Look at Philippians 2. We have the written word, and we have the Spirit of God. And as we've heard many times in this Walking in God's Power advanced class, the Spirit and the Word. The Word and the Spirit. Philippians 2:13, familiar verse. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God who works in you. God works in us. He's at work in us by way of the Spirit of God that is in us. And if we don't have great reverence and respect for the written Word of God, how much reverence and respect are we going to have for God working in us, giving us information and instruction? It'd be like, you send me to the store, and you give me a list. There's bread, milk, eggs, potato chips, whatever. And I come back and I go, yep, I got the groceries. And then you're like, where's the potato chips? Where's the tomatoes? Oh, okay. Sorry, I spaced that. With a written list. How confident would you be then to send me to the store with a verbal list? So, you know, that's why I say we got to have reverence and respect for the written Word of God. Before we close in Hebrews, take a look at Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. If you're familiar with Acts 27, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner on a ship. There's 276 people on this ship. Paul is a prisoner. There are soldiers on the ship and whoever else. They ran into this great, horrendous, deadly storm called Euroclodon. Hurricane, typhoon, whatever it was. And they've been stranded for like 2 weeks. And verse 21 says, or verse 20, Acts 27:20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. It's totally hopeless. Totally hopeless. But, verse 21 says, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And if you're familiar with the record, back when they were at Crete, Paul said, I perceive we should not leave. No, we're going. Okay. So now he's saying, look, you shouldn't have done that. And now, in this totally hopeless situation, and now I exhort you, verse 22, to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. What is he, crazy? Be of good cheer, everybody. Nobody's going to die, but we're going to lose the ship. And how could he say such a thing? Verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, and this is what the angel told Paul, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all them that sail with thee. So he said, this angel appeared to me and said this. And then he said in verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That is believing. That is like when Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. That's believing. Be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And verse 26, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. And if you are familiar with the rest of the record, they did crash, finally saw some land, and crashed. People that could swim swam to shore. Other people, it says, on boards, they all made it safely to land. 276. Nobody died. And that was the island of Malta. I think it's called Melita in the text, but it's the island of Malta. I've had the great blessing to visit Malta when Kathy and I were on a cruise once. So we got off the ship and we went to this taxi place, and the guy goes, where do you want to go? St. Paul's Bay. He's like, there's really nothing to see there. And I went, this is the highlight of my trip. He's like, okay. So then I said, do you know what happened at St. Paul's Bay? He goes, no. I said, well, there was a shipwreck there 2,000 years ago. He's just driving. I said, do you know who was on the ship? He goes, no. I said, the Apostle Paul. You ever heard of him? But it was supposedly the place where all that happened. It was just a blessing to be there. But it would be really awesome if God sent an angel to you with information and instruction. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be great. It certainly could happen. We see it in the scriptures. Absolutely possible, right? Not out of the question. And if it did happen, then that message to you by way of the angel would be a message from God. Therefore, what the angel spoke to you would be what? God's word. God's word, right? But, on the other hand, what did Jesus Christ say about the written scriptures? In Matthew 22, Jesus Christ said,
Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God? Jesus Christ indicated that the written scriptures is God speaking to you. So whenever we crack the book, whenever we open the Bible, it's God speaking to you. You know, that's why I said if we don't have great reverence and respect for the written scriptures, how much reverence, respect, attention would we give if God were to graciously, by way of the Spirit, give us information or instructions? And again, we don't worship this book. But we do recognize that the words in this book, when they are rightly understood, are God's word, and it's God speaking to us, right? So, let's close in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Sometimes people say, boy, I wish God would talk to me. Yeah. Open the book. There's a lot. He could talk to you for hours. Right? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, let us therefore fear or reverence, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And the word faith, better translated as believing, and we don't see it in the English, but in the Greek there is the definite article, the, not being mixed with the believing in them that heard it. And we understand that to be the right way of believing. You can believe anything you want. You can accept anything you want. But the best choice is the right way of believing, which is believing God's word. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with the right way of believing in them that heard it. So let's be those who not only read and hear the scriptures, God's word, let's be those who accept it, accept his word as being true. Let's be those who believe his word. Let's be like Mary. Be it unto me according to thy word. Let's be like the Apostle Paul. Be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Let's believe what God has told us in his word, which includes what God has told us about us. See, as born again ones, we are a new creature. There's a new you. It's the new you, the inner man, as it's called, the new man, the new creation. Let's believe what God says about that, because that's the real you. So let's believe God's word. Father, thank you for your wonderful word that gives us such great understanding, that, Father, helps us to believe, helps us to live our lives trusting you and believing your word, so that we could fellowship with you, so that we could love you and understand your great plan of salvation and redemption, so that we could know who we really are, what we have, and that, Father, we could have great confidence to reach out to others with the good news of the gospel concerning your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, for all of us to have a wonderful week ahead. I thank you for your blessings on our lives, and may we just continue to love you and love your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.